Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. I'm so glad that you have joined us. We are excited to be in your ears today, whether you are exercising or maybe you're cleaning the house or working away on something super important. We're just glad to be with you while you're doing that today. And I'm excited, as always, to be in studio with my good friend, Pastor D.A. Bennett. Tell me how you are today.
Pastor Stephanie, I'm doing great. You're saying, you know, in your ears, like exercising. I'm thinking it's summer. Maybe some people are actually getting out on vacation.
Oh,
maybe they're getting
yeah.
to drive a little bit.
Yep, and road trips.
And all the family's asleep, but you're listening to the podcast.
Yes.
So we're going to try our best to help you stay awake while you're driving.
That's right.
That's what you're doing today.
That is exactly right. So friends, we are in episode 4 of our Supernatural Power series. We've just had a great time with this. It's been fun mm-hmm. to dive into the spiritual gifts, talk about them a little bit more. If you are part of our church family and you've been joining us online every week, you know that we've been also preaching this as a series. So we're really trying to use this podcast as an opportunity to elaborate on some things we don't have enough time to touch on Sunday morning, which is a good way for us just to get a little more of these ideas out to you. But again, we would love to hear from you. So if you ever want to contact us and let us know the things that you would really like to hear about, or maybe you've got some more questions about the spiritual gifts, we'd love to be addressing those so that we can help you. So you can always email us. You'll find both of our email addresses on our website at saokc.org. So as a little bit of a recap.
Take us back.
Say that's right. There we go. So I'm going to give you, Pastor D.A., a little quiz.
Uh-oh.
A little pop quiz.
Okay.
You know, since we had fun coming up with the series, we did for the very first week, we kind of did a general podcast and sermon about the Holy Spirit. But then week number 2 was which thing? Which of the gifts?
It were the three gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that are the power, the supernatural power to know.
To know. And those three gifts would be, drumroll please.
Depending on your translation, it's either the message or the word of wisdom, the message of knowledge, and the distinguishing between spirits or the discerning of spirits.
Of spirits. Good job. You passed the first part of the quiz. Now,
I think I actually had that question on a seminary exam.
Did you really? Yeah. Was it bringing back all of those terrors
all that fright and anxiety?
Test anxiety. Exactly. Okay. So then the second week was the supernatural power to say. And we talked about the three gifts, but I'm going to go in reverse order than what we talked to them about. So the last one we talked about was the gift of prophecy.
Such a great
gift. That is just really cool. I think we could spend a whole podcast on that because I just love it. But it's really...
Now all our listeners are going to say, yes, yes, and we're going to have to do the study and put in the work.
Exactly, right? So I love the gift of prophecy because it is getting to speak forth the word of God. And it is such a powerful thing. It's life-changing. But then you've got the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues, which was a fun one. If you didn't get a chance to listen, I hope you'll go back to listen both to the sermon and to the podcast from last week. But today, you need to tell us about today.
Okay, well, first of all, let me say that these are the gifts that we find listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are just 9 gifts in that list, but there are other places in Scripture that talk about other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And to tease everybody up, we'll actually be discussing some of that next week in the next podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But we go from the power to know to the power to say. Mm-hmm. And today is the power to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is so critical because, as I said in the sermon Sunday, people outside the church that are in the world, They don't really care what we know.
Right.
They want to know that we care.
Right, you know, right. That's important. Popular
cliche. Yeah. And they don't really care what we say because talk is cheap. They want to know what we do. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about these three gifts that are the supernatural power to do, mm-hmm. these are the continuation of the compassionate ministry of Jesus. One of the stats I read, I haven't verified it, but yeah. one of the stats I read doing research for the sermon last Sunday was somebody said 90% of Jesus's ministry was healing ministry. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Right. I don't know how they came up with that.
Sure.
Certainly, though, it's indisputable. It was a significant part right. of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
So the three gifts that are the power to do would be healing mm-hmm. and then miracles and faith. And people may wonder yeah. what's the difference between healing and miracles. And I think that's some good stuff for us to discuss and think about
today. It is. It's some really good stuff. So as we think about the supernatural power of healing, I feel like this gets a lot of focus in even the last 50 to 75 years of Western Christianity. Uh-huh. I mean, we talk a lot about the people who had healing ministries. And I think, sadly, sometimes they've gotten a bad rap, especially
they really
the ones that were a little more pronounced or popular, because people really wondered if it was real or not.
It seems to be accompanied with a lot of theatrics. Uh-huh. And, you know, again, based on my experience, I went to Oral Roberts University. Mm-hmm. Oral was known as a faith healer. We had to go to services where Oral would preach and pray for people's healing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they would bring somebody on the stage.
Right.
Because I think originally the intention was, because if somebody comes up here and God heals them, now it is on display for everybody right. to see. If people want to know what the power of God can do,
right.
it's a demonstration
yes.
of that power.
Yes.
And yet others, and perhaps even Oral himself was in this category uh-huh. sometimes. Sometimes it seemed like they were just being theatrical. Mm-hmm. A really cynical person would say, yeah, because then people send money
right.
to support that ministry.
Right.
That's why when John Wimber preached mm-hmm. in a chapel service, I was really drawn to him because he didn't make a big show of it. And he was very honest in, here's the approach we do.
Right.
But even if there is some theatrics involved,
right.
even if there are spiritual counterfeits,
right.
I believe God has a supernatural power to heal people.
Definitely.
And that's a gift God gives the church.
Right.
So one of the things that I think of, one of the questions that I heard asked when I was in seminary, but don't know that I really heard answered, uh-huh. is who has the gift of healing?
Uh-huh.
And this is such an interesting kind of thought. On the one hand, if you have a person that has a reputation or they bear fruit uh-huh. in ministry,
yes.
that when they pray for people who are sick, people get well,
right.
does that person have the gift of healing? Or does the person who is healed, the one that is receiving
right.
that gift? So we talked about that a little. What's kind of your reaction
yeah.
to that?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I have always really considered this is a weird way of saying it, the possession of the gift of healing to be within the person that is praying for the healing.
Right.
But really, when you think about it, the gift of healing manifests itself in the healing of an ailment. And so really, that gift falls upon the person who has the ailment. So it's really an interesting thing. When I think about going back to Jesus' ministry,
right.
like you were just saying, it could be that 90% of his ministry was through healing. There were often times when Jesus would heal people in front of a group of others,
right.
you know, a big crowd.
It was a display.
It was a display,
power.
Exactly. Right. And then there were other times when Jesus would do that, and he would say to the people, don't tell anybody what's just happened.
Yeah.
You know, don't put it on display.
The story of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, where only
yes.
one comes back to say thank you.
Yes.
after he heals all 10 of them, he says, go show yourself to the priest.
Yes.
Which would have kind of been the medical personnel that would, well, yeah, you've been healed.
Right, exactly. And is my understanding that in order to be reinstated to society, the lepers had to be pronounced
exactly.
clean.
Exactly. The priest had to do that.
Yeah, and so Jesus, it was almost as if he was handing them then another gift to say, not only have I made your body well, but now I want you to no longer be an outcast.
Right.
You know, which is very cool thing.
Restored their health, restored their social standing,
yes.
probably their families if they were having to live separated from their families, giving them opportunity to earn a living. I mean, it really was much greater than, you know, open your eyes and you can see now.
Exactly.
Although that would be awesome enough.
It really would. You're right. Well, and when I think about that, when you're talking about blindness, it's so interesting when you think about how we see a lot of healing with Jesus taking place, of course, that making the lepers clean.
Right.
So that's one. Another really big one is that he does heal people who are blind rather often. But then he also uses that as an example when he talks about the people that need help are the ones that know they are blind.
Yeah.
And he talked with the Pharisees saying that part of your sin is that you don't know that you're blind.
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting physical and spiritual connection when it comes to healing. But then the third thing I think of when it comes to healing that Jesus helped with was he helped people to walk.
Yeah.
And when you think spiritually about that type of healing as well, that when you're not able to move, when you're not able to go from one place to another on your own, it's debilitating.
Yeah.
But the same is true in our spiritual lives. When we are, when we're stuck in a certain place, often God will heal our lameness spiritually by saying, get up and move, go forward.
Right.
You know, it's just interesting connection.
I'm listening to you say that, and I'm thinking of the story of the man Jesus healed where it's like the guy said, nobody's there to put me in the pool.
Yeah, right.
When the angel stirs the water, and so I can't be healed.
Yeah.
And Jesus' response can seem kind of blunt and harsh.
Yes.
You know, it's like, that's not a good excuse.
Right. That doesn't work.
And in that, I think we do see that the restoration of a person's health is so much greater than suddenly having the physical ability to do something. And I love how you brought up that, sometimes it was a display. Sometimes Jesus would heal somebody, but he would say, this is so you can see the work God does so that you will believe. And so this is a ministry that was given. We know the story of Peter and John going to the temple, and they tell the lame man, you know, rise up and walk. It was a continuation of Jesus' compassionate ministry.
Yeah.
One of the things that I appreciated about what they did at ORU was even though they prayed for and they believed in and they practiced divine healing,
right,
that did not discount medicine.
Right.
In fact, some of those times I would have to go and they would pray and somebody would be healed. They would always say, go show yourself to the priest, or in this case, go show yourself to your physician and let them tell you whether or not God has healed you.
Yes.
So, you know, if somebody went up and they were being medicated because they battled depression, they never said, you're healed, throw your medicine away.
Right, exactly.
No, you keep your medicine and you go to the doctor, and if they say, you know what, you're healed, then you can throw your medicine away and give God the glory for that. I think the question itself on who has a gift of healing, it's a tough one because
it
on one hand, the person who has been healed has just received a divine gift. And yet at the same time, there's no denying that there are some people through which when they pray for sick people get well.
Yes.
And so perhaps, again, we can let the listener decide.
Yeah.
Perhaps in what that person may have is the ability to do miracles.
Right.
That whether it's healing or something else, God is giving them to the ability to do miracles.
Right.
Of course, on the other side of that is if somebody prays for you and they're a miracle worker, but didn't you receive the miracle?
Same
question applies. But
it is.
How about you define, what's your definition of a miracle?
You know, that's a really great question. I feel like with a miracle, we often connect it to physical healing.
Right.
But the reason that we do that is because I really think for us, a miracle is something that happens that we were not able to make happen in our own strength.
Mm-hmm.
And And that can be a lot of different things. For instance, we think miracles are often instantaneous, which I believe that they are and can be, like a healing, you know, when it happens in that moment. But also miracles can happen over a period of time. When I think about the work that we do as pastors, as we help people who are in struggling marriages or right. help people who are in struggling family relationships or other types of relationships, you know, I pray for miracles to happen in people's lives so that their relationships can be reconciled. But relationship reconciliation type miracles usually take a period of time, but it's no less miraculous.
Right, and it would take an exercise of people's faith and work to yes, receive that miracle.
Exactly. What about you, though?
When I think of miracles, again, one of the things I sometimes wonder, and so for those of you listening, I'm wondering out loud again, is do we sometimes overuse the word miracle?
Right.
And the example that always comes to mind is the miracle of childbirth.
Oh, right.
Now, there can be no doubt that there are some families that struggle and battle against infertility, and that is much more of a miraculous thing when they have children than people that don't have that struggle.
Right.
And when you look at a baby, you know, it just seems miraculous.
Man, it is.
But when I think of that, when I think of miracle, I think I can explain how babies are made.
Right.
You know, I can explain the natural part of the universe, how God has designed things to be.
Right.
And so I don't think of those things as miracles because that's part of God's natural law.
Right.
When I think of miracles, I think of supernatural things.
That's good.
You know, if I break my arm, well, naturally, orthopedists know how to set my arm
right.
so that my arm will be strong again.
Right.
If I were, God forbid, and God certainly bless those that have, if I had cancer,
right.
we know that there are some forms of cancer that medically we know how to treat.
Yes.
We know how aggressive and how serious they are. Again, prayer and medicine working hand
right.
in hand. But there are other types of cancer that we do not know how to treat. I mean, we do the best we can and pray for the best.
Yeah.
And God, I think, can do a miracle.
Yes.
To cast cancer out of a person's body when the doctor couldn't do it.
Right.
So I when I think of miracles, I think of things that supersede natural law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I jump, I'm going to come down. That's a natural law
right.
of gravity. And
yes.
If y'all feel a slight tremor, it might be me jumping. It may not actually be an earthquake. But if I jump and I don't come down,
right.
that's a miracle.
That's a miracle, yes. I love how you describe that about it being outside, supernaturally outside of the laws of nature and the ways that God has set things up. I think that's really, really interesting.
So have you ever experienced a miracle? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot, I know, so I'll stall while you think. You know, Sunday in the sermon, I shared the story about the time I had the hiccups
yes.
and how God just
yes.
took those away,
yes.
and then they came back.
Yes.
and I realize on the grand scale of miracles,
yeah.
just being rescued from the hiccups does not work very,
I
it's not
it's
very high
story.
Up on the schedule. That's like, you know, kindergarten level
right.
miracle right there. God's like, hiccups, come on, D, I can do more
I
than
can
that.
I can do anything. That's right, I can do that. So, I love that story, though, because it shows the level at which everything is important to God, and I love that. I have actually a similar one, which is going to sound even sillier
awesome.
Than the hiccups.
Awesome.
So, full disclosure
you
there.
Went bald.
Actually, I have a story about that, too, but we'll do that one later. So, I had this moment where I was at a very important dinner, and was interacting with some, you know, high-level people, which sounds strange because everybody's important.
Yeah,
but,
let me kind of interrupt and just ask, because I know our listeners want to know the answer.
Yes.
What shoes were you wearing?
Well, I can't remember, but I'm quite sure that they were excellent.
I'm guessing it was the red shoes.
Oh, it
had
should
to
have
be
been.
The red shoes.
That would have made the evening perfect. So I was sitting there at this dinner, and I had been struggling with a terrible allergy all day. day to the point where I was having trouble talking and I was having trouble breathing. And it was just really bad.
Probably thinking, I don't need to go tonight.
Yes, exactly.
Feeling an obligation.
But I had to go. And so I was sitting there at this dinner with all of these people, and my husband was sitting next to me, and he knew that I'd been struggling with this all day long, and he put his, I was getting ready to kind of make my talk, like my thing.
Okay, so you weren't
say.
Just a guest, you were a presenter.
Well, at this table I was, so it wasn't a huge deal, but it was important to me. And so my husband reached over and kind of rubbed my back. And in the moment that he did that, I knew he was praying for me because I could just tell that he was. And in that moment, my whole head just cleared up. Like, I could breathe freely. I could talk freely. None of the allergies that had bothered me were there at all. Yeah. I was able to speak and say what I needed to say and do what I needed to do. And it was later on that night, all the allergies came back.
I was on the edge of my seat going, okay, if she didn't get it back, I need to know what car she was driving. It may have been the Ford that I had to drive back.
Exactly. No, definitely came back, which is funny when you think about it. And yet God knows exactly what you need in exactly the moment that you need it. And it definitely came through my husband's prayer. I mean, there was no doubt about that in any way. So miracles are funny and amazing things like
miracles
that.
Miracles do happen. And, you know, I've heard testimonies from people that I would trust about, you know, God opening blind eyes. I mean, that's one of the things some people want to know. Mm-hmm. Does God still do this today?
Yes.
And again, those people that have ministries where they're praying for healing and doing those, and maybe it's theatrical and maybe there's display. It's because I think in their heart, when they start off, they really want people to see God still does this.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe it gets beyond that. You know, that's not for us to
judge
or to criticize harshly. Right. But, you know, God still does these things.
Yeah.
And whenever we read Scripture, one of the things that just continues when we think about what Jesus did in healing people and doing miracles is he would say, your faith has made you whole.
Right.
The first story that comes to mind is the centurion who had a sick child and went to Jesus, and Jesus was like, well, let me come to your house. And this man says, no, I too am a man under authority.
Yeah.
All you have to do is speak the word.
I love that.
I guess it was a servant, not a family member. And my servant will be healed.
Right, exactly.
And Jesus said, greater faith have I found nowhere.
Yeah.
Among my people. I mean, this was a Roman centurion.
It was a Roman.
It wasn't
a Gentile.
It wasn't Jewish.
Yeah.
But greater faith have I not found anywhere among my people.
Yeah.
And so that brings us to that third gift that is the power to do.
Yeah.
And that is the gift of faith. And I've just got to confess, this is the hardest of all the gifts for me to define.
Yes, right.
I don't know if you have a definition. Mm. If so, I'll sit here and listen. But when we think of faith, one of the things that we know are there's different kinds of faith. Mm-hmm. Again, thinking of natural law, I really have the confidence. I really have the faith that if I jump, I'm going to come back down.
Right.
When we first give our lives to Jesus,
when
we receive salvation, that's what we would call the exercise of saving faith.
Right.
I have faith that Jesus can save me.
Yes.
The gift of faith, I think, is different from either one of those.
Yeah.
I think it is an expression of faith that goes beyond saving faith.
Yes.
So.
Yes. You know, I really do feel like when Jesus says so many times in Scripture, it's your faith that has healed you or your faith has made you well, it has given us somewhat the wrong impression that if we conjure up this amount of faith on our own strength, that somehow God will give us what we want. And I feel like that's such a wrong way of looking at it. It's where we get ourselves into trouble by telling people, well, you just weren't healed because you didn't have enough faith. And I truly do not believe that that is what God says to us, because if it is the gift of faith, it is something that God provides to us.
Right.
It is something that God gives to us. One experience I have had with the gift of faith is in my life, I had to kind of I think probably every Christian has to do this at some point or another. I mean, there's just nothing special about me. But I think we have to come to the point where we decide we're going to believe in who God is and what he says, regardless of anything else, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what we know or don't know, regardless of what other people tell us is true or not true. We have to come to the point of faith where we say, God, I believe in you, period.
Right.
And that's an interesting place. Another interesting place that I think we come to is that if we are able to go to God and say, I believe you can do anything. I believe that you can do anything. It is our job as faith-filled Christians to believe that God can. It is not our job to know if he will. And right. That's where we have to let go, is because a lot of times we think that having faith means that we know that he will do what we want him to do. But that's trying to be God ourselves, you know? Yeah. We need to, our job is to know that he can do whatever he deems necessary in our lives and in the lives of others. And that's where we put our trust. That's where I think faith and trust go hand in hand. Yeah. But we have to surrender our need to be God. And that's a hard one for us humans.
It really is. It really is. A couple of biblical stories come to mind as I listen to you. Uh-huh. You know, that God can, even if God won't. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Exactly.
It's what I have called here, even if faith.
Even if.
I believe
yep.
in God, even if he doesn't
yes.
do this miracle. I believe you throw me in that fire, the God I serve can save me from the
yes.
fire, and he did.
Yes.
But even if he doesn't,
yes.
we're not going to bow down to your idols.
So
the
true.
Other one is Moses, mm-hmm. that when God called him and said, Moses, here's what I want you to do, Moses came up with every excuse in the book.
Yes, he did.
And God was saying, Moses, I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
Moses ran out of excuses.
Yep.
And when we think of this, one of the things that we see is faith is something that is given to us in measure.
Yeah.
We don't all have the same enough amount of faith.
Mm-mm.
And for some people, God gives them a measure of faith, mm-hmm. I would say a supernatural power of faith
yes.
that is probably greater than another person's. We
yes.
hear people say that all the time. Well, you have more faith than I do.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't walk around saying, oh, I'm the pastor. I have more faith than you.
No.
Because when I was in seminary, one of our professors actually told us, do not be intimidated when you get in a church and there are people that are better Christians than you are.
Exactly.
I cling to that. But so I think of this gift as a measure of faith that really does say, mm-hmm. God, when you do this, mm-hmm. when you manifest your supernatural power to do this, mm-hmm. there's no doubt it was you.
Yeah.
There's no credit I can take. Mm-hmm. All I am is the conduit through which
yeah.
your power
exactly.
is moving.
Exactly.
And Jesus, man, golly, Moses, some of the images he gave us. If mm-hmm. you just have faith like a mustard seed.
Yeah, tiny.
You can move mountains.
Yep.
I love the mountains. I've seen big mountains.
Yes.
I don't have that much faith to move that mountain.
Isn't that crazy?
If they'd move a little, give me some cell service every now and then, I'd be okay.
I know. But, well, and it's interesting, too, when we look at this supernatural gift of faith, and this is really what I want our listeners to hear today, that in the spiritual world, that gift of faith opens doors.
Yeah.
And that is what is so important. When we manifest that gift, there's something that's happening in realms we can't fully see
right.
that gives God an open door to do his work.
Right.
And so there are many times in life when I kind of had this interaction with God a few weeks ago where, you know, I was trying to set everything in place. And working and setting things in place and having a plan is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I was talking to God, I finally came to him and I said, I believe you can do anything. I really do. And in that moment, something in my heart changed. And I really heard God saying, all I needed was your faith.
Yeah.
I didn't need any of the other stuff to make this happen. But your faith opened doors.
Yeah, I could do it without you, Stephanie.
Yeah.
However, I have chosen to say, when she turns his faith switch on,
uh-huh.
I'm ready to move.
Exactly.
I'm ready to act. And, of course, if people listen to last Sunday's sermon, I said, this is a gift I'm praying for myself.
Yeah.
Just as we think of ministry and how it is we can reach people for Christ and make disciples of Jesus Christ, there's some things just kind of brewing in me. And it's like, God, I need more faith than what
I
have.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the things in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that it really does say is desire these gifts.
Exactly.
Desire these gifts. I don't think that it's wrong to desire for the Holy Spirit to use us as a continuation of the compassionate ministry of Jesus.
That is so true. Yes, amen to that. And if you want to hear more about that, then check out what we're going to be doing next week. So we're going to be talking more about all these gifts together, but then also how we desire these gifts, how we go about asking God for these gifts, and how we receive the Holy Spirit. So I hope you'll join us next week. Friends, we're really glad that you've joined us today. It's always good to be with you wherever you are. We continue to pray for you, God's richest blessings upon you, and we hope that you have an awesome week.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.